welcome everyone to Worth to Wealth, our podcast that I'm sharing with you by introducing you all to other boss ladies and women business owners to help empower, inspire, to grow your business, to give you some of their aha moments that will help you along the way on your entrepreneurship journey. I am LaShonda DeBrew. I'm the host of this Worth to Wealth podcast series. I am your virtual CFO, tax strategist, and your retirement specialist. And I help women, boss ladies, navigate their financial journey and support them in their systems, processes, and establishing any compliance guidelines along the way in their business for tax accounting purposes and to help them basically stay organized and ready for tax season so that they're able to continue to profit in their business. And today I am so happy to be here with my sister Sandra Williams. And I'd like to welcome her officially to my new podcast here. And I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for participating as a guest in the series. Sandra is a master vision coach. And she has a Facebook community group, and she's going to share more about that as well as other components of her business. And today, like I said again, we're just going to have a conversation with Sandra about her Worth to Wealth journey and what it was like for her to transition in the different nuances of her business and to stay on that path and to just grow as she moved on towards her business. So, Sandra.
Hello, LaShonda, and thank you for this opportunity. Like LaShonda said, I am a master vision coach, and you know, it took me a while to get there. You have that one title, but finally, you know, I just prayed and said, God, what is it that I do? And that's the wording that as I began to talk to my clients and just pray about it, is that master vision coach. And so you might ask, well, what does a vision coach actually do? You know, a vision coach actually helps women to clarify their next level and then build a roadmap to get there. And so that next level could be in their calling, their life, their business, their career, their ministry. But what is that next level for you? And then how actually do you build a roadmap to actually get there? So that's what my business is all about. I'm a coach, professional coach, mentor. I do training. I have classes that are available. And I'm just loving to be able, as LaShonda said, to be able to take my worth, all the things that were inside of me, and translate that to wealth. And didn't know I could do that. And so I'm just blessed to be able to do that. So I don't know if you want me to keep going or ask
questions. Right. That was great. I mean, yeah. I do have one question though, okay, as we move into it, because I know that a lot of our listeners are going to be those who are in 9-to-5 positions. I am in a 9-to-5 position. And looking to transition at some point out of that. And I know that you have done that successfully. And congratulations to you on doing that. How many years? Has it been a year yet?
No, actually, believe it or not, it's been two. The first year I kind of rested, though. I didn't do very much the first year. But now it's been like a year and a half, really going forward full time.
Right. Okay. So a lot of us, and I mean, it would be good for me to hear as well. A lot of us are challenged, of course, when it comes to us making that bridge to crossing over and having everything in place or thinking that we need to have everything in place in order to do that. So can you just share with us your pivotal moments, what your aha moments was or what they are or have been and what you learned during that process? What did it take for you to make that transition?
Okay, so let me tell you where I was. I was working full-time for the past 30 years, actually. You know, my background is in technology in corporate America. I had several leadership technology jobs. But my last job that I was at for the past 15 years was I was senior vice president for all 58 community colleges in the state of North Carolina. And it was great. And I will tell you, it was a great job. I learned a lot. I really, really thought that was going to be my career. And it was actually more than just a 9 to 5, because when you're at that level, it's a 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning to whenever. Okay. And most of you know about that. You know that, you know, you have jobs that not only do they take your time because you have to physically be there, but then when you get home, you feel like, okay, I can't do anything else because number one, I'm either continuing to work because I'm bringing work home, or number two, if you're not physically at the job, your mind is on the job. So it seems like that you're working all the time. So how do you transition from a 9 to 5 and be able to create your own economy or take your worth and create that into wealth? Well, here's what I want to tell everybody. And I'm a little bit different in how I approach this, because I believe that you have to start this process while you're on the job. You can't like quit a job and say, okay, now I'm going to go into full time. You have to have already started this process. There are some things that in order to be successful, there are some things that you have to already have in place in order to move forward with being full time. And some of the things, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I did. And as LaShonda knows, I'm a process person, you know, as a technologist kind of person, you know, everything is either 1, 2, 3s or ABCs kind of thing. So that's how I'm going to present this information to you on today. But I do want you to know, and here's one thing, if you want to remember something, and this is what I want you, those of you that are listening, to remember, is that you can live your dream while you work 9 to 5, but there's a way that you do it. And how can you take what you do from 9 to 5 and how can you use that while you're working to help you build your dream? Now, one of the things you have to remember too is that, LaShonda didn't say this and we hadn't talked about it much, but I am a minister. And so one thing that was very important to me is that I didn't like break any of those biblical concepts. You know, for example, you know how you see people who sell multi-level marketing and they're doing stuff on the job while they're and doing their multi-level marketing stuff or whatever on the job. Okay, I don't believe in that. You know, the Bible tells us, and I actually wrote the scripture down. The Bible tells us in what that scripture is, I know I wrote it down. The Bible tells us in Matthew 22:21 that you have to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So while I was working for community colleges, it actually wasn't community colleges, the state government, and community colleges is a part of state government in North Carolina. While I was doing that, I could not work my business. You just can't do that. If you're working for somebody else, you can't work your business and expect that business to be blessed, and you're doing that on somebody else's time. Right. So biblical processes and biblical principles are very, very important to me. But here's what I did do. Here's what I did do. And that's what I'm going to go over today with you. And we call them, I call them the five shifts. Okay. And they are five shifts that helped me to prepare for my dream while I was working full time. Many people just tell you can do it, you can do it, but you must prepare for it. You must have things in place. So what I did was, first of all, I knew, I'm going to get to the five shifts in just a second. Let me give you a little bit of back. Can I keep going, LaShonda? I don't want to, you mean keep going?
Sure. Okay. So and I had to put the mute on. But yeah, definitely, keep on.
Okay.
All right. I'm taking notes myself, so listen, go ahead.
Keep going. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to give you the five things in just a second, but let me give you a little bit more background. So as I said, I was very, very happy in my job. I was not dissatisfied. I love what I did. I love the people that I was working with. I was senior vice president. I had a very high ranking position. I had lots of awards. I mean, I was North Carolina State's Alumni of the Year. I was North Carolina's Technology Woman of the Year. I was Chief Information Officer of the Year. So you name it, the awards I got, because community colleges are very visible in this state. So, but there was something missing. And that something missing was in my heart. Every time I would get up on a stage to speak to anybody, I'm like, you know what? I'm here speaking about technology, and I leave the room and people tell me how encouraged they were, you know, people. And I'm like, okay, there's something missing in my life. And so I really wanted to help women to move forward to their next level. You know, my passion is ministry, and specifically teaching the word. That's my passion, and applying biblical concepts to be able to move, biblical principles to be able to move forward. But I'll be honest, it's very difficult to do that when you are working for somebody else full time. That was very difficult to do. So, and sometimes, you know, your organizations don't promote it or allow it. And when you're working for someone, whether you like it or not, you can't be a rogue and say, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't do that when you're working for somebody else. So I was around a lot of spiritual people, you know, people that went to church, and I was able to mentor them and stuff like that. But there was still something missing. And this is where I met LaShonda. I went to this event called Speak for Pay. And Speak for Pay was at that time done by Marshawn Evans Daniels. And it was a 3-day seminar, and LaShonda and I were both there. But what it taught me, and I won't go into the details of everything, but what it taught me is that I had enough up here and enough knowledge, experiences, and resources that I could package those. And as LaShonda, using her verbiage, I could create my own economy. And that's what I didn't know. I mean, I grew up in a town where, you know, you work somewhere for 30, 40 years, you retire, you know, kind of thing. And so I didn't grow up where in an entrepreneurial environment. My daddy worked for the railroad for 30 years. My mama worked in the mill until my brother was born. So I didn't grow up where I saw people having their own businesses and being successful. I grew up, you get an education, you get a job, you retire, and that's it. So this was all new to me. But what I did grow up having is my daddy would always tell me how smart you are. You know, how smart you are and how you can talk your way out of anything. So I realized, and I listened to Marshawn, I took all this in, I joined the mastermind. LaShonda and I were both in that mastermind, and I'll talk very briefly about investing in yourself in terms of doing that sort of thing. But I realized that if I wanted to eventually leave the job that I was doing, not that I didn't like it, but I needed more fulfillment. And I realized that if I wanted to leave that job and go to doing what I wanted to do full time, that I had to make some changes. I had to make some changes, that I could not just come home at night and do nothing or just watch TV. And keep in mind, I was doing stuff. I mean, I was preaching, teaching, doing church work, those kinds of things. But I still knew there was more on the making money side.
Right.
I was doing a lot of work, but I wasn't making any money from it. Okay. And so creating my own wealth, as you all have been learning in Worth to Wealth, creating my own wealth was something I didn't even really know about until I stepped out and did this, this seminar called Speak for Pay. So my questions became for my own self was, how do I work my 9-to-5 and create my own economy at the same time? So I got to work 9-to-5 because I had to work. Okay. And how do I do that and create my own economy at the same time?
Now, you know, I don't want to break your train mm-hmm. of thought, but just right there, when you said that, going back to, you had created all these things, you were working in ministry already. Mm-hmm. And I know from remembering you from the mastermind classes or workshops, where you had books, because you brought your books with you that you had written,
yep.
Authored. Yep. Right. Already. But now, so let's go back to that part there, because mm-hmm. of course, most of us are real busy and we're doing things, and you know, we're in ministry, you know, I'm in ministry, mm-hmm. you're in ministry. We're going to have some of the listeners who also are there, whatever, as well as doing other things. So they could be teaching, or, we were famous for holding different various meetings and facilitating meetings and seminars or workshops and gatherings,
mm-hmm.
Let's just say. But what was the shift that came for you? You said you knew that there was more, mm-hmm. which is what led you to the mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question would be, then what was the shift once you got there? What was your aha moment sitting there in the mastermind? And you had collected those things, you had them, And then it was like, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah. My shift was that people would pay me for my professional knowledge. I thought I had to work. My professional knowledge had to be for somebody else. Had to work for somebody else.
Somebody else.
So my shift came when I was sitting, and I knew the ministry stuff. I mean, the ministry stuff, you know, and I love that. That's part of my life. It still is, you know, but the preaching, the teaching, I knew that world and I understood that and everything. And I lived my life according to the Bible, and or tried to live my life according to biblical principles, as we all do, you know, but in terms of the shift, I never thought that because I led the largest technology in the third largest community college system in the world, that I could take that and somebody would pay to hear me speak about that.
Wow. Okay.
Or somebody would pay to hear me speak about that. You know, I just signed a contract the other day where someone is paying me to do group vision boarding. I never thought about that. You know, they want their organization, and they said, well, you know what, we want you to come in and do a group vision boarding in terms of look at the vision for how we want to move into the next year. And then we want some visuals. And I'm like, oh, I love vision boarding. But me, I put a plan with the pictures. That's a whole other topic. But right. But that aha moment came when I realized that there was so much up here, so much experience that I had that, and so much I could help other people with on the professional side that people would pay for that.
Yeah.
And the ministry is just how I live.
New. Yeah. A lot of times they think they have to do something new or create right. Something totally different, but it's not about that at all. It's taking what you have from within, mm-hmm. which is where the word to wealth comes from again, mm-hmm. recognizing what you have from within and then monetizing what you do. Okay.
Exactly. Just monetizing what you do and what you know. And I'm a firm believer that everybody has something or knows how to do something that someone else would pay for. That's that vision. That's where you've got to, we talk about vision coaching. You know, so many people think vision is this great big world or kind of thing, or great big thing. They can't grasp to it. Well, what is the thing that you know how to do? What is the thing that God has gifted you with? And, you know, think about what do people ask you questions about? And I started thinking about that. Women ask me questions about their calling, their career, their ministry, moving forward, next level. So I literally put processes to those things. And now you know, we have our own products that helps women to get there. You know, we even have a community. It's called, talked about this earlier, but it's called Vision Building Women. It's a Facebook community. And the women in there are, you know, I teach every Sunday night. And so the women in there are women who they thought vision had to be huge. But, you know, vision could just be what your next step is. Or the vision could be huge. But how do you navigate the steps to get to that huge vision?
Right.
And so many people think that it's difficult, and it's not difficult. It's just a process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that, it's shifting their perspective. And I think you already mentioned shifting the mindset. That was one of your shifts. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll go to my five shifts because I want to make sure we keep everything in the time frame. So when I think about the things that I had to do while I was working 9 to 5, because keep in mind, I'm a firm believer that you just don't walk off the job. You know, you take time while you're working to prepare, to go to classes. Like, for example, and I'll kind of weave that part in as I'm talking about the shifts. So I had 5 shifts that I looked at. One of them was a shift in prayer. The next one was a shift in my perspective. And I'll go in a little bit of detail in all these. So shift in prayer, shift in my perspective. The third one was a shift in my plans. The fourth one was a shift in my position. And the last one was a shift in my product. Okay. So, you know, I love ABCs and 1, 2, 3. So shift in prayer, perspective, plans, position, and product.
That's good. Okay.
So the shift in my prayer. I mean, my prayer had to, and all of us pray, but my prayer had to become more strategic. And so as I began to just pray about, you know, God, if I come home full time, what is that going to mean for the income coming in? You know, what is that going to mean for my son? And what is that going to mean for me? I mean, you know, because you're used to going places somewhere every day. Then all of a sudden, oops, you know, you're not there anymore. So my prayer became more strategic. I began to pray about my business. I began to pray about the things that that I knew that God had for me that I just didn't know how to reach. I just didn't know, I see it, God, but how do I get there? So I just began to pray about those. I prayed for the people on my current job. I really prayed for them because I wanted them to be successful. So I really prayed for them. I prayed that I wouldn't get frustrated in the transition, you know, that if all of a sudden, okay, I leave and I got all these things in place and I leave and all the money doesn't come in like it normally, you know, you working at that level position I was making a lot of money. Okay. And so you want to still be making that money as you come out. So until I get to that point, you know, I pray, Lord, don't let me be frustrated, you know, and as you work towards that, you don't want to be frustrated. But one major thing I did was I developed my own personal intercessory prayer team. And I think that is critical. And my intercessory prayer team cares about me. Okay. I, you know, sometimes you don't want to be selfish and you say, well, you know, pray about this person or pray about lift up that person. Well, I needed somebody to pray for me. Okay. As I went into this particular venture and going, leaving from someplace full time to some, to entrepreneurship, I needed prayer. I didn't know what I didn't know. I needed to prayer and I needed intercessors to pray for me so that when God spoke to them, they could speak to me. Right. And so in terms of shifting in your prayer, making your prayer more strategic, and then having your own personal intercessory prayer team. The second one is what I've talked about a little bit already, and that's the shift in my perspective. And the shift in my perspective literally is a shift in your mindset. Okay. You know, I had to know that I could do this and that if this was the door that God was opening for me, that I needed to walk through it. And so, and that gets difficult sometimes. That gets difficult when you see that check coming in your bank account every month. And then you know on this date, it's not coming. Right. Okay. That gets difficult when people are asking, why did you leave? Or I wouldn't have done that or that sort of thing. But you have to know that if this is the step where you want to be, you've got to get in the mindset to get there. Because if you don't get in the mindset or have the perspective of going in that direction, then when people start talking in your ear, then you'll waver. You'll waver back and forth. And you cannot waver. You got to be focused to be an entrepreneur. You have to be. So shifting my perspective also meant that I knew I couldn't do this alone. There's no way I could do it. I had to have help. I invested in myself, as I said earlier. I invested in myself. I joined the mastermind. Well, first I invested in myself to go to Speak for Pay. And then after that, I invested in myself to join the mastermind. That's where I met LaShonda. And we've been working together, I believe, ever since then. It's been about, what, 5-6 years now? It was 2013, I believe, when we went.
It was 13,
So a long time. And so we become friends. We go to other places together, you know, other workshops together. But we help each other with what the business is that God has given us. So you have to realize that you can't do this by yourself. So I invested in myself in a mastermind. I invested in myself in certifications. So, you know, I'm a certified transformation coach. I'm a certified professional Christian life coach. You know, I am certified in other areas that would help me with what I need to do. And some of this, these classes, I did before I left. So those are things that you can do at night, you know. And I know everybody's nights are filled and booked up. And you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't put one more thing on my plate. Well, you know what? Put one more thing on your plate means that you've got to prioritize in some other areas. Right. And that's a whole nother teaching on, you know, how do you prioritize to make the vision of your calling, your career, your ministry, whatever your vision is, how do you prioritize to get there? But that is all a part in shifting your perspective. Because here's the thing that I learned is that my mindset, my perspective, what I viewed and how I thought had to be in alignment with where I wanted to go.
That's good.
So if my mindset was not in alignment with where I wanted to go, then I wasn't going to get there. Because if your mindset is not in alignment, you're not going to take action that is necessary to get there.
Say that again, though. Your perspective had to be in alignment
with where I wanted to go. Yes. With the vision that I had, I wanted to be a world-class coach. I wanted to be a world-class mentor, speaker. You know, that sort of thing. A writer, that's the life that I wanted at that time, and still now I have that life, you know, but that's what I wanted. But I knew that my actions and my mindset had to be in alignment with that, because when my mindset is in alignment with that vision, then my actions will be in alignment with that vision. Right. And so literally I had to reprioritize some things. Some things I didn't reprioritize. I did not reprioritize my time with the Lord. You know, I still have my personal time with the Lord. That was not an option. Moving around things with my son and my husband and my mom and dad, those were not options. So there were certain things that I was not going to take off my plate. But there were things that I did take off my plate, or I shifted into somebody else. Okay. And that's another one of the shifts. But I began to devote time. My perspective had to change, and I began to devote time to my own personal economy, creating my own economy, as you all are learning here in Worth the Wealth. Now, here's one thing I want to tell you in that, is that if you're working the 9-to-5 and you're working this plan, as I said earlier, you still have to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. When you're at work from 9-to-5, you still have to work for whoever you're working for 9-to-5. You know, like I said, that's Matthew 22 and 21. So don't try to run your business from your job, because if you do, you might be working for somebody like me and you might get fired. Okay. Because that's against the rules and you can't do that. So that's why, but I did begin and this is something I do. I keep a book like this, and I take it everywhere I go, and in it, I write down my leadership lessons. I write down resources. I write down experiences that can help other people. Because you do so much, sometimes you forget. So I have to carry around a book. And I actually order this particular book every year. And all it is just a journal. If you look at it, it's just a journal. It's all it is. But in here are all the lessons and things for 2018. I got one for every year. I have one for every year. But in that is my shift in my perspective book. So when I hear a quote that really impacts me, when something that I say, oh, this is a great idea, and I'll write it down in there. I keep that sort of thing all the time. So, but that's the first one. You've got to shift your perspective. The second one is, the third one is shifting your plans, right? Shifting your plans. This is where priority takes place, okay? And I may even change this from shifting your plans to shifting your priorities. Write that down while I'm talking, okay? to shifting your priorities, because you have to plan for the transition of working from 9-to-5 to working for someone else, okay? You've got to plan for that transition. Now, how do you do that? One of the first things I did was sought wise counsel. You know, the scriptures tell you in Proverbs 19 and 20 to seek out wise counsel. And I knew that I had the gifts, the talents, the abilities, but they were raw. I needed them refined so that I could speak on a stage of 10,000 people. I needed them refined so that I could create my own coaching programs. I needed them refined literally so I could create my own economy. Okay. And when you don't know what you don't know, you need to get some wise counsel. So you need to shift your plans in terms of what you think you know to what you really need to know. So I did take some classes. I took some speaking classes. I took writing classes. And these are things I already knew how to do, you know, because I went to graduate school. I mean, I have a doctorate in education. I know how to write a dissertation. I know how to lead other people's dissertations. But the people I'm speaking to now, that's not what I'm speaking to them about. So I needed to know how to do what I wanted to do now, which was inspire, encourage, motivate. So I had to learn how to do that sort of thing. As I said earlier, you know, invest in yourself. You know, I can't even begin, I'm sure LaShonda can't either, to tell you how much money we've spent investing in ourselves. But it's so worth it.
Good investment though, yeah.
It's a good investment. I'm investing in me. You know, it's a good investment. I tell people, you know, if you want to give me something for Christmas or you want to give me something for a gift, I love gift cards, I love all that kind of stuff, but give me a book. Or send me to a class or something like that. If you want to get something for somebody else, you know, shift your plans instead of giving them, you know, this is one of my soapboxes. Instead of giving them a $500 purse for Christmas, give them a $500 course that will change their life.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or an Amazon card where they can go and purchase their books, because, you know, we do a lot of that too.
We do a lot of that. You know, I was at the salon one day, and I tell the story a lot. I was at the salon one day, and this young lady had this gorgeous hair, and I thought it was her hair. And I love weaves, and I love them. I'll be this today and something else tomorrow. But but she was getting her hair washed, what I thought was her hair, but it was actually a weave. Mm-hmm. And so I said, "Oh, that is the prettiest hair. Where did you find that from?" And this is what she said to me. And I wanted to jump out from under the dryer and hit her. But what she said was, "I put this hair on layaway." And I said, "You put it on layaway, honey. How much did it cost?"
Right.
And she said that hair cost her $500. I was literally too through. Because I thought about, if you've got the mindset to put hair on layaway, can you imagine what you would do if you took that $500, invest it in a class, package your knowledge, that sort of thing, and be able to give it to somebody else and sell it to somebody else? But I didn't go there with her because I really didn't know her. I didn't go there with her. But shifting your plans and your priorities means that you can't do the same things you used to do. You can't spend your money the same way you used to spend your money. You've got to spend your money such that it helps you. I'm not saying don't go on vacation. I'm not saying don't buy the nice bags or don't buy the hair or don't buy the shoes, because I do. But I can afford it now, okay? I could afford it then when I was working. There was a small period of time where we counted our pennies to make sure that as that money started rolling in with my own company, that we could continue that lifestyle. There was a small time where my husband watched everything. And then now we're back to where we were, and even better than that. But that's because I made sure that we shifted priorities. I didn't go out and buy expensive stuff. The only thing we paid a lot of money for, unless it was something for our son. Okay, that was the only thing we agreed upon, that if our son needed something, regardless of how much what it was, we invest that in him. But for our stuff, the luxuries, for that short period of time, we did not. And you have to do that. You've got to shift how you normally plan for things. My thing is, if you can lay away some hair and you can pay on about a month, you can put some money to it. I hope I'm not stepping, okay, I don't want to preach up in here today, but I hope I'm not stepping on somebody's toes. Right. And you know, that you can lay away hair, you can put away $20, $30 a month to pay for a course, mm-hmm. or to pay for something that's going to increase you. Here's the thing that I've learned. If you want to go to the next level, you cannot operate at the same level and expect to go to a new level, okay? All so right. While I was working my 9-to-5, I had to shift my plans and my priorities, okay? Two more, and then I'll stop, unless it's trying to want to. Okay, so the next one, you know, I love this right here. So the next one was a shift in my position, okay? This is, we talked about this a little bit already, but if I wanted to move to the next level while I was working, create my own economy so that I could step down and do this full time, I had to take action. So I had to shift my position from just talking to doing, okay? Everybody knows the scripture just about. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead, all right? So if you don't want to work it, then it's not for you. Let me tell you that. Let me say that one more time. If you don't want to change your position and begin to work, then entrepreneurship is not for
it. It is work.
It is work. Believe me, while some of y'all are asleep, you know, me and DeBrew texting each other at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, how do you do this? I got an idea for this, you know, kind of thing. We're with another group where we meet on Mondays, every Monday at 11 o'clock, and we talk strategy with each other and that sort of thing. So, but remember, faith without works is dead. And I had to take action, a different kind of action, and lining up the things that I did with where I wanted to go. Okay. So I couldn't watch TV as much. Many of you know, if you know me, you know, I love Andy Griffith, and I can sit and watch Andy Griffith all day long. I couldn't do that anymore. I love Criminal Minds. I couldn't watch it all day like I used to do. I would come home and say, I'm going to relax. No, I had to come home and get fixed dinner, help my son with his homework, whatever he needed, and then get right into my company. Every now and then, I'm married, so you got to take a little break. You got to spend some time with your husband, kind of thing. But I had to make sure that my position was shifted such that my actions lined up with where I knew that I was going. And all of these are different subjects we could teach on separately. I'm just giving you the very high level, and I'm sure in Worth the Wealth, y'all can go into this in a more deeper level. And then the last thing.
Stop away from there, though, right quick. A lot of times, though, that's where we can become busy and it's not constructive or strategic, mm-hmm. because you can be derailed or sidetracked mm-hmm. By other things or activities or whatever. Because, you know, if now fear has set in for whatever reason, or you started second guessing yourself, or you feel like you still need more, or need to be more, mm-hmm. And that there's something else, one more thing that you need to get before you walk out and move or do whatever you're doing, or whatever it is that you're going to do. But from what I'm hearing from you, obviously, you were still moving through all the time. And that's what I want people to understand as well. Mm-hmm. That you need to keep moving and keep mm-hmm. taking those steps.
Yeah.
You're not going to have everything that you need, and it's going to evolve and it's going to change, or whatever, but there's no perfect time. And if you're going to do it, you do need to keep moving.
Right. You can't stop moving.
Because even though, yes, I mean, you're going back now, and granted, like we said, it's been 6 years now. Mm-hmm. So of course some things now come to you second nature. You know, but even looking back on at that time, and we still have some listeners that will say, oh, okay, they're not in a place and space where they already know how to segment their time.
Right.
Or how to say, okay, I can't sit and watch, you know, TV all day or whatever, because they figure, you know, they're taking a break, or they're getting a break, and or they need a break from whatever it is that they're working on, because again, now they're stuck, mm-hmm. but they just don't know how to move out from where they are being stuck, or they don't know how to get the support that they need to move out from there. So it's like, my question to you is like, looking back on that time, how did you come to like the realization, okay, no, I can't look at TV, or I can't sit and watch it all the time? Well, one, we know once you transition out of your 9 to 5, you know, that's all on you.
That's all on you.
At that point. So if you're not moving and doing anything, and if you're not making any money, then no money is coming in. That's from right. You, even though you have support or your husband is in your household. But that's what entrepreneurs need to understand as far as what we're talking about the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a part of that work. And you will find yourself when you make that shift, and proud of you making the shift, which is why it's good for them to get these key things and to hear what you're saying, get those things in place, and or at least be thinking about that. Because it does become a whole new territory and an all new game mm-hmm. when you look in that stepping out, and it becomes real.
Real.
Realer, as they say, but realer, because now you have to get busy
mm-hmm.
and you have to put a plan in place and have a structure to your day. But go ahead.
Exactly. All day. And you know, one of the things people say, well, I don't know how, one thing, but you said, I don't know how to structure my day. Well, that's something you learn how to do. That's something that if you don't know how to do it, then get help. I tell people, if you don't have a coach in your life, you need one. You need someone in your life that can help get you from where you are to where you want to be. And that can be a coach, that can be a mentor. It depends on, you know, what it is that you're trying to do. But if you don't have that, then you're not going to learn. You know, I work with a young lady, and she was working 9 to 5. She really enjoyed what she was doing, and she wasn't ready to quit her job. She wasn't ready. And it wasn't that she wasn't ready, you know, financially. She just didn't want to quit. She wanted to work, and she wanted to do her what she wanted to do on the side. She wanted to do that at the same time. And she couldn't figure out how to do it. But she had Bible study on certain nights. She had this on, I mean, this different things she was doing. I said, let's look at what you're doing, and let's structure your evening. Because you are a structured person, so let's figure out how we can do it. And literally, we only found 2 nights where she could work on that vision that she had. And again, the vision wasn't that large. Her vision was a company. She wanted to do some teaching with some people that were in a abused women's shelter. And she had a program that she wanted to set up for them to show them how to get jobs and stuff. And so what we did was we sat down and we said, okay, this is when you're going to work. And you've got to keep to this schedule. And she did. Lo and behold, now that program that she has is now in shelters across the Charlotte area, where women now can come and be a part. But she couldn't figure out how to do it. So people say, well, you know, I don't know how. I can't find another ounce in my day. I got to sleep. I got to eat. Ooh, I'm sweating up in here. I got to sleep. I got to eat. But I can't find any more time. But that's because you've got to go back to the shifting your plans. You've got to go back to those priorities, and you got to look at what you're doing today and see what you can take off. Like I said earlier, there's certain things that I was not going to remove. Okay. I wasn't going to remove my family, my time with God, my health. Okay. I forgot that one. Exercising, that sort of thing, and eating right. I wasn't going to remove that, but there were other things that I was doing that I could say, you know what? I may come back and do that at a later time in life. But right now, if I want to create my own economy, if in 2 years I want to walk away from this job and I want to be creating my own economy and doing my own, then I've got to do something different. I had to shift in my plans. So I had to get some help with learning how to do all of that. And if somebody has never done it, they can't help you. Okay. Here's the thing. I tell people all the time, why are you getting help from people that are not where you're trying to be or not where you're trying to get to?
Right.
If you want to learn how to be worth the wealth, then this is where you should be. You know, you should be in, you're in the right place. If you want to be able to do even more, then maybe you need to book an individual session with LaShonda. Let somebody look at your finances. You might say, well, I don't have the finances to start my own business. How do you know if you haven't already met an expert sit down with you and go over it and coach you? Some of us need coaching in terms of, I'm the spender in the house. My husband can tell you down to the penny where things go in this house. I can't. So I let him handle that, and he works with that. All right. If I want information on a certain finance things for my business, I'm not going to go out here and try to learn it on my own. I'm going to call an expert. I'm going to call LaShonda DeBrew and say, DeBrew, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think? Okay. Or can you help me with it? That's what you have to do. You've got to shift in terms of your position and make and say, you say you don't have the time. You don't know what you don't have until you're sitting down with someone that can help you through that process. That's what I had to do. That's what LaShonda has to do. Now, are we totally expert at it? No. But we're further along than we were a couple of years ago. Yeah. Much further along than we were a couple of years ago. So I challenge each and every one of you that are listening to this podcast, this video, to get with an expert. Book a session with LaShonda. You know, book a session with her and say, you know what? I want to be full-time. Because, you know, sometimes you don't even know how much money you need to be full-time.
Correct.
You gotta think about that. You know, how much money do I need?
I haven't even thought about it.
You haven't even thought about it. You know, you want the full-time, you want the flexibility, but you got to have, because around here is Duke Energy. Duke Energy going to send me that light bill for these lights that are making me sweat. Duke Energy is going to send me that light bill every month. All right. I've got a 17-year-old son. I got to put food on the table with my husband every month. All right. We no longer have a mortgage because we paid our house off years ago. But here's the thing. People say, Dr. Sandra, why are you still living in your starter home? Because we don't want a mortgage. All right. And I love my house. I'm here. I got everything I need right here. I don't need a large house. All right. Some people get a huge house and then your mortgage poor. And then you can't do your own business. You may need to, if you want to have your own company, you may need to downsize and then go back up. All right. So those are all things when we talk about shifting your plans, shifting your priorities that you got to think about. But those aren't things you can think about and do on your own. You got to have some experts to be able to do that. Coaches, mentors to be able to do that with you. And then the last thing, my last P, remember it was prayer, perspective, plans, position. And the last one is product. And you have to be confident that you are your own product. Okay. You've got to be confident that you're the brand, you're the product, your knowledge and skills, your struggles, all the things that you have endured in your lifetime, you can put those together in a package and teach someone else how to make it through. Okay. I've got clients to where I work with them on how you teach someone how to get through being battered. You know, and yet now they're speaking and they're writing and they're doing that sort of thing. How do you get through that? How do you put a process together? You know, look at DeBrew. DeBrew has her own she's a CFO, virtual CFO. She can teach other people how to do that, but there's a process to get there. She's the product. And here's something I tell everybody is what God allowed in your life. You don't waste what God has allowed.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so if God has allowed you to experience pain, don't waste pain. teach other people about the pain that God brought you through it. Here's what they need to do so they can get through it. If God has allowed you to be able to go through school and be successful, teach other people how to do that. One of our friends, he teaches people how to get scholarships. Okay. We've got people that do all, we have friends that teach people all different things. Okay. So when God has allowed you to go through something, when he's brought you through and now you're here, then teach other people how to get there. You know, I get it. As you can tell, I get excited teaching people about vision because I know there's a place that God wants everybody to go. But the, as LaShonda said earlier, the fears, the not confident. Sometimes our mentor used to tell us all the time, and she still says it. We wear a little bracelet. I don't have it on today. It's actually in my car that says, start before you are ready. And I added a little bit more to that. And I say, start before you're ready. Because if you wait until you're ready, you're never going to start. Okay. You've got to start before you. The way you gain confidence is just do it. Just do it. There are lots of things that I didn't have confidence that I could do until I stepped out and I did it. Okay. That intercessory prayer team I was telling you about, they were praying for me. There were times, sometimes people ask me, why do I wear red all the time? And I'm an AKA. I wear red all the time because I have to remind myself that whenever I go somewhere, I am covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you do things like that, that help you, you know? So when I go on stage and you see me in a red dress, the first thing, those of you that are watching this, I want you to say, oh, that woman knows she's covered under the blood. That's why I have the confidence to step out and do. Okay. And I just do it. And sometimes Joyce Meyer talks about doing it afraid. Sometimes you got to do some things afraid, but I don't do them by myself. I've got some help. I've got my own coaches. I'm a coach, but I believe that every coach needs a coach. So I've got my coaches. I've got mentors. I've got people that support me, you know, in different areas. And you need that. That if you're going to create, not if, when, I speak prophetically to each and every one of you, when you create your own economy. And when you're walking in this full time, it's an ongoing process. It's never going to stop, but you'll love it because you're walking in that calling, that ministry, that career, that life, that vision that God created for you. Let me stop because last thing I need to do is take a scripture and keep rolling. So I'll stop right there.
That is good, but I think you covered, yeah, all of the bases, though, and definitely you've given some great pointers and some thoughts that's going to help them along the way. I don't, just in me thinking, I don't have any questions or anything I think that maybe you left out for anyone who is looking to transition from 9 to 5. And or if they're looking to just be that parallelpreneur, because you still need to walk that way and do that anyhow. Again, you talked about the 5 shifts that you need to make shift in your prayer, being strategic about that, shifting your perspective, which of course is changing your mindset, shifting your plans, and you're thinking about saying shifting your priorities.
Yeah, I'm thinking about changing that one.
Shifting your position. And a shift in your product. Mm-hmm. So that is real good. And I think, you know, this is a good place now probably to probably close this out. Do you just have one parting thought to share or one thing?
First of all, let me thank you for the opportunity to be on today with you. I count LaShonda as a very, very good friend, and I'm blessed that God divinely connected us through that mastermind some 5 years ago. I guess the parting thing I would say is to, I put it in two pieces. Always, always make sure that what you're doing is lining up with the vision that God has given you. Whether it's your career, your calling, your ministry, your life, your business, whatever it is that you're trying to get to, make sure your mind and your actions are in line with that. And if you undergird that with the word of God, then you can't go wrong. Okay?
That's good. Well, there you have it from Dr. Sandra Williams, the vision, the master vision coach. And again, we thank you for joining us today and for joining me and doing this interview as we share for the listeners of the Worth to Wealth podcast. And we look forward
to hearing more from you. What is your Facebook group again for those who may need, who want to follow you and to hear more and or to, you know, look at your services as well?
Okay. So my website is under construction. We're rebuilding it. But the website is Dr. Sandra Speaks. That's D-R-S-A-U-N-D-R-A Speaks. DrSandraSpeaks.com. And on Facebook, you can find us on in the Facebook group called Vision Building Women. Just do a search on Vision Building Women and that Facebook group will come up. Join the Facebook group. Like I said, there's lots there. Every week we're doing teaching on moving forward with the vision that God has for your life.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.